The Moonlight Sonata is a favourite of piano students everywhere, I'd say. And it's one of the first pieces our next guest remembers playing by ear as a child. It wasn't just classical music, though. Virginia Lloyd's repertoire ranged from classical and jazz to popular tunes, like the theme music for The Man from Snowy River or MASH, and Billy Joel hits. She was so known for all this that at her 20-year school reunion, the recurring question to Virginia was, "Do you still play the piano?" It was a question that sparked some personal reckoning for her, coming to terms not only with her own life's journey, but also that of the women who came before, especially her grandmother Alice, and the role the piano played in her life. Virginia Lloyd's memoir is called Girls at the Piano. Virginia, tell me, what is it about the piano that you've personally loved so much?
The piano, well, to me, it encompasses a whole world of sound in the single instrument in a way that other instruments depend on other sort of orchestral instruments to support them, such as a flute or a violin, for example. A piano, you can play solo or you can play
it's a whole orchestra.
It can be, yes, and it just encompasses a whole range of tonal variety and such depths and range of expressiveness. It just always seemed to me a continually unfolding mystery as to how you could press your fingers to the keyboard and create these gorgeous sounds.
What about more generally too, Virginia, the piano's historic and enduring appeal, especially for girls and women?
Goodness, well, when I started thinking about writing about all of this, I had no idea where my research would lead me. But in fact, there's, well, a book, a book worth of material, more than one probably, about the ways in which women's lives and the piano have been intertwined in various ways for a long time. The piano's been around for not quite 300 years yet, but for much of that time, it has been strongly associated with something that women do, even, of course, though, that women for many, many years, up until late 20th century, weren't even allowed to be part of orchestras or to, you know, it was the exception rather than the rule
for a woman to be a concert artist. It's the amateur pianist at home, isn't it, really?
Yes, because originally the piano was introduced as an expensive piece of domestic furniture into the houses of the, you know, minor aristocrats and upper middle classes, and it was very expensive. And so families who could afford a piano were really invested in having their daughters learn to play, because it was a tool in the effort to acquire a husband down the track, you know. So it was very much a strategy to show off, you know, assets of various kinds. And that's why you see in novels from Jane Austen right through to the end of the 19th century, really, you see a lot of women playing at the piano in various ways to either attract a husband or to keep a secret in some ways.
And then with the Industrial Revolution, with the upright piano, it sort of becomes democratized and lower middle class and working class girls can also play. Now, let's move on to talk about your grandmother, Virginia, your grandmother Alice Lloyd. First of all, just what kind of a figure was she to you as a child?
She was a terrifying figure. My memories of her were, I was just scared of her. She was short and stout. She had a really substantial moustache of whiskers. She scared me to death, and I really, really didn't like going to visit her. It took forever to get there. My brother and I just couldn't wait to leave. There was nothing to talk about. There was just a loud ticking wall clock in the kitchen, and I really had no idea until literally decades later of how musical she was. I knew
yes,
that.
Well, your perceptions of her really shifted, didn't they, when you got a bundle of letters and certificates and other documents that revealed this previous life she'd had in Scotland, that she was a very promising musician, both a pianist and singer.
I could hardly believe my eyes when my very elderly aunt Alice's daughter shared these documents with me, and she'd gone on a rather extensive, family history bent. But she also had found some correspondence in the family archives. And so what I was confronted with was recommendations for her appointment as a choir mistress in her native Glasgow. Exuberant descriptions of her singing voice and the extraordinary range of her soprano, and the fact that she ended up being choir mistress at not one but two of the larger churches in her Partick parish in the poorer end of Glasgow. And in fact, she was the very pious daughter of a working class family, and turned out to have this gift.
Which, was something that you didn't really ever connect with her on, which seems a shame now, I guess.
It's a terrible shame. One of the sad realizations as I finished this book was realizing that I would never hear her sing. And it does seem like a shame.
Or play? Did you ever? She didn't ever play the piano?
No, she never played the piano in the house that I visited her in. Had no piano at all. And one of the things that really I found quite curious and sad was the fact that she, despite teaching a few of the local piano students play. She was a piano teacher occasionally to students in the sort of the wheat belt town that she moved to, but she never taught her own children. And I found that quite curious that somebody who had that knowledge wouldn't share it.
And I'm speaking with Virginia Lloyd, who's the author of Girls at the Piano. This is Life Matters. Virginia, I just want to come back to you for a moment, because that thing at your school reunion, you know, the question you were constantly asked, was it a sort of shock to you to realise that you playing the piano at school events was such a defining memory for so many of those you were at school with?
It certainly was. Yeah, it was so consistent, really. It was quite hilarious, but troubling also, because...
Well, yes. I mean, how did that prompt you to then reevaluate and reconsider why you hadn't kept going on your musical journey, you know, maybe even professionally?
Well, it caused me to confront that question, Amanda, and I think that's probably a question that I had been avoiding asking myself for a long time. So this, the recurring theme, if you like, at the reunion really spurred the investigation that turned into this book, because obviously it was such a dominant part of my adolescent identity, both in what I spent my time doing and how others perceived me, that it was a choice, both conscious and unconscious in some respects, to move away from the piano.
Had you wanted a professional career? Did you think as a teenager that you might be a concert pianist?
I never honestly had the passion for the repertoire that would be required of a classical musician, you know, performing solo around the world. Plus, I was really good, but I wasn't at that level at all. It's you know, that you're in the stratosphere if you're performing as a solo concert artist. Having said that, though, I loved playing with others. I loved accompanying. I loved improvising at the piano. I loved performing. I didn't love having to memorize stacks and stacks, you know, Mozart sonatas and things. I could do it, but increasingly as I got older, I did not enjoy that at all. It was very difficult. But I love those other aspects of the non-classical musicianship that I enjoyed. And yet I walked away from that as well. I think, and there actually is a wider, quite a topical debate going on now about women in music and how men are disproportionately represented in music, in all sorts of music, actually. And I write about that in the book, as how I loved improvising and jazz music and all that sort of thing, but I never saw or heard a woman playing on the recordings that we had at home, or when I was old enough to go to live concerts.
Well, Alice, your grandmother also turned her back on a musical life and career. Now, in her case, it was due to a scandal that she sort of unwittingly became part of. She married a bigamist, and then when that all unravelled, ended up moving to Australia. Was moving to Australia a way to sort of escape this failed marriage and, you know, the sort of shame of it?
I think it must be. I mean, I don't have a document that speaks that so plainly, but it seems to me that it was, you know, it was just after the end of the First World War. She was the choir mistress at two churches. She was a very prominent figure in the musical life of her hometown, and for her to turn out to have married a bigamist just must have been such a public humiliation. But it wasn't until a couple of years after the discovery of the bigamy that she ended up on that boat sailing to Sydney.
Would you say, though, that once she established a new life in Australia and didn't play the piano, didn't sing, would you say rejecting music was a sort of rejection of her old life?
I think so. And I think that's why I felt a great sadness when I discovered her musicianship late in my life, because it really did seem to me that she had cut off a great part of herself that nourished her and gave her deep satisfaction, and she had renounced her musicianship in some sort of misguided belief, I suspect, that it was better to leave those things behind her rather than to try to integrate that part of her into a vastly different life in, you know, the middle of the central west of New South Wales.
Well, like her, but for very different reasons, you renounced your musicianship. Have you started playing again, though, Virginia? You know, have you found a way for playing music, playing the piano, to give you joy again?
Well, yes, I have, Amanda, and that's you know, a great nourishment of my life these days as well. And in fact, until a few years ago, I was living in New York, and I joined an amateur jazz ensemble there, and my goodness, was that fun. So I absolutely love turning up every week and playing with other amateurs. There's no pressure, there's no exams, you're not going to be forced to perform if you don't want to.
How do you go, though, with I imagine, not being able to play to the standard now that you did when you were a teenager?
Well, that has been part of my journey, I guess, is to recognise that it's kind of like function creep in a way. You don't really need to play at the level of technical proficiency that I had attained in order to simply enjoy playing. So there's lots of people who will play the piano or whatever instrument at home for themselves and get enjoyment out of it, and they don't necessarily need to, you know, be able to execute a trill perfectly or consecutive octaves running up and down the keyboard and, you know, at fast pace. It's more about connecting with other musicians and really just the enjoyment of it. I was a very goal-focused, goal-oriented young woman, and
You've moved the goalposts. Exactly. Virginia Lloyd is the author of Girls at the Piano. And if you're someone who's spent a lot of time learning and playing the piano, or in fact anything that demanded a lot of you, you'll relate to it. Virginia, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.